Always at the top of every show, we are fortunate enough to go inside the Beltway with the true insiders. We're going to tee it up this time around for Talk Radio News. Jeff Holtzman, Jeff on the Capitol today. A lot of big things happening. It's a wild Monday, including because all eyes are still on Russia. What about those demonstrations in Russia? What's the White House's response to that?
The White House believes that the demonstrations are being supported financially by Moscow. The spokesman, chief spokesman for the president today, Jay Carney, said that there's strong evidence that supports the fact that the Russian government is paying some of these pro-Russian demonstrators to wreak havoc in eastern Ukraine. These demonstrators seized a handful of buildings, and the White House says that these are not Ukrainians. These are, you know, foreigners, probably Russians, who are being paid by the government to do this. So that's very interesting. The latest on that is that despite the fact that those demonstrators had seized a couple of buildings, Ukrainian special forces have cleared them from the headquarters of security services in the eastern Ukrainian city of Donetsk. That's according to the office of the new Ukrainian president.
All right, so we'll watch to see what happens there. I think it feels like to me they're kind of laying in the weeds in a sense and watching a little bit of this play out before they react. Am I right? It sort of feels that way lately.
Yeah, I mean, the White House's message to Vladimir Putin right now is to cease all efforts to destabilize Ukraine, although that's the same message that the White House has been, you know, sporting for weeks now, and Putin really hasn't seemed to be listening to it. And he is clear that the sanctions that the U.S. has applied against officials who are close to Putin haven't really worked to deter Russia either, especially when you look at these demonstrations that are clearly being led by the Russian government. And now there are fears that, Putin has his sights set on, you know, eastern Ukraine and possibly even the whole country.
Wow. All right, executive order time again. What's the president's decision to sign that? And it has to do with equal pay. What happened there?
Yeah, the president is signing an executive order that would prohibit contractors, federal contractors, from discriminating discouraging employees from talking about and sharing information about how much money they make. The administration says that the move will strengthen enforcement of equal pay laws for women. The president will also sign a presidential memorandum instructing the Labor Department to establish new regulations requiring federal contractors to submit to the Department of Labor data on compensation paid to their employees, including data broken down by sex and race.
Wow. All right. The other thing is, of course, the elections in Afghanistan, huge elections, and there had to be some, I'm sure, reaction across Washington on Afghanistan because we're still invested there.
We're absolutely still invested, and we have, you know, several thousand troops there. And, of course, the big thing in Afghanistan right now is whether whoever becomes president will sign a bilateral security agreement with the United States, which would allow us to keep troops there beyond the end of this year, which is when U.S.-led combat operations are officially going to end. Hamid Karzai, the current president, has not signaled a willingness to sign a bi-level security agreement, but he's not prohibited from serving as president beyond this year. He's term limited. And so whoever his successor is, the White House says, the White House is hopeful that person will go along with the BSA. Now, based on this weekend's election in Afghanistan on Saturday, where you had roughly 7 million people come out and vote, which is a huge percentage. I mean, that's you know, there are 12 million eligible voters in Afghanistan, so very good turnout. But based on early returns, it looks like the two front runners are Abdullah Abdullah and Ashraf Ghani. And both of those candidates have pledged to sign a bilateral security agreement with Washington. So that would be good news for President Obama and for the Pentagon. The candidate who is sort of handpicked by Hamid Karzai is Zalmay Rasool, and he's far behind the other two candidates. So it looks like there's probably going to be a runoff. And it looks like those two candidates, Abdullah Abdullah and Ashraf Ghani, are going to be the two candidates at the top. So we won't know exactly which one of them is going to win for several weeks. There's going to have to be, you know, there's obviously going to be some recounting of ballots and things like that. But then there'll probably be a runoff. So it'll be interesting to see. But it looks like whoever emerges victorious in Afghanistan will be supportive of an agreement that would allow the U.S. to keep troops there.
Wow. Anything else that's rocking and rolling in the Capitol?
Well, the Senate is expected to pass an extension of unemployment insurance. This would apply to roughly 2 million Americans whose benefits ran out at the end of last year. The Senate has been wrestling with this issue for weeks, pretty much ever since the new year. But the legislation does not appear to be headed anywhere in the House. Republicans who control the House do not support the bill. In other news, the House Oversight Government Reform Committee, Republicans on that committee say that the IRS only targeted right-wing groups and did not target any liberal groups. That's a new report put out today by the House Oversight Committee. An IRS agent apparently testified in private to them that no liberal groups were targeted for political reasons, so that's kind of interesting. And a new poll, shows that a fewer percentage of Americans are without insurance right now. In fact, the percentage of Americans without insurance is as low as it's been since 2008. But there's another separate report that shows that young people across the country are finding that their health insurance plans are more expensive than they thought they would be when they signed up. A lot of young people are saying that, sure, their monthly premiums are low under Obamacare, but their deductibles are high.
Yeah, there's deductibles like $6,000. That would hit that wheelhouse hard. Obviously.
Yeah, anywhere between $2,000 and $6,000 is what a lot of young people are saying in terms of these premiums that are as low as $100 per month.
Wow. Jeff Foltzman, Talk Radio News, thanks.
All right, Kate, thank you.
Big news as far as college basketball is concerned. It would be one of the buzzes in the backyard, I think, certainly in Connecticut and in Kentucky. And for anybody who had any interest in this basketball game, meaning hardly anyone had brackets alive, but they just wanted to watch it, the University of Connecticut, they beat Kentucky 60-54 for the title just a short while ago in Dallas, Texas. So they are the champions of college basketball. Shabazz Napier scored 22 points. He was the leader scoring-wise for the Huskies. And the difference really, I guess, came down to free throws. I watched the second half of this game. Connecticut was 10 for 10. Kentucky was 13 for 24. Remember the old thing about the big man, Shaquille O'Neal, back in the day when he would have trouble at the line. He would stand for hours at practice over and over again, trying to hit those buckets and make them drop. And they didn't drop for Kentucky, that's for sure. Practice makes perfect, and I'm sure they were practicing their guts out, but it didn't work this time. UConn's coach, Kevin Ollie, said, "We always did it together. It was one as a group, and the Huskies never even trailed in the game." Napier's the most outstanding player of the Final Four. He hit the key buckets when they needed them. Anytime it looked like Kentucky was going to make a move, he was on big time, and he drilled the buckets when we needed them. So it's all about UConn and lots of celebrating in Connecticut. I know we have listeners in and around that area, so congratulations to the University of Connecticut and their Huskies for the big win over Kentucky. Hang with us on the flip side, why Hillary Clinton is freezing out the field in 2016. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
We'll fill you in on what was happening while you were doing other things. Stuff you might want to know about. All right, so the Wall Street Journal today, I got to steal their headline. I already said it. Clinton freezes out the rest of the 16 field. Pretty much, she has not said yes to running for president, but we know she's playing coy. Clinton, the people I know close to Hillary Clinton say there is absolutely no doubt about it. It's testing the water. So advisors to a fundraising group, they talk about it in the WSJ, backing a prospective Clinton bid, have been really pushing since January. A hedge fund manager, a political heavyweight, Orrin Kramer, who never backs a loser if he doesn't have to, said he met in his New York office, agreed to write a very fat check. So how about that? Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley tried to reach him. Kramer said he didn't take the call. And the reason why is he said, look, she is the Gladys Knight. This is what he called her. She's the Gladys Knight and all the rest of them are pips. And I think from the very beginning, as soon as Hillary Clinton's name came up again, this is the payback, remember, because she wanted it in 2008, but Obama was handpicked for that. I mean, ultimately, right, he got the edge, and then that was it, and Clinton was out. And so I think this is the payback for Hillary Clinton, just like Mitt Romney for all the years that he did what he did for the Republicans. That was sort of the payback for Mitt Romney after the beauty pageant show, all of those Republican, you know, debates. But in the case of Hillary Clinton, this is because of 2008. So she isn't officially running, but she's got massive influence, not surprisingly, with Democratic fundraising and the whole get out and vote machine. And they talk about it extensively. So it's all the things that we've talked about. They're recruiting volunteers in Iowa, New Hampshire, and other early voting states. So why would the Clinton people be doing that? You know, the people that are pushing for Hillary Clinton, if they didn't feel pretty positive that she was running in 2016. Man, it almost feels weird to say 2016. So, you know, here's the question again. It becomes the same thing. Who is going to stop Hillary Clinton on the Republican side? Can a Jeb Bush beat Hillary Clinton? Really? Can a Jeb Bush beat Hillary Clinton? Can Rand Paul beat Hillary Clinton? Can Ted Cruz beat Hillary Clinton? Chris Christie? And you might say, oh, this is lame. You're driving around thinking, oh, 2016, Katie, why are you talking about this? Why? Is because with the way financing is now, pretty wide open when it comes to corporations, I think the Republicans have to get behind a couple of key people early this time around if they want to make a serious run at it. You know, I remember how many of you called me in 2008 and you talked about McCain and Palin. How many of you called me last time around in 2012 talking about, oh, he's not going to get in the White House again. Mitt Romney. It wasn't even so much Mitt Romney, but that the Tea Party was going to stop Obama, and they would vote for the Romney ticket, and they like Ryan, Tea Party guy, on the ticket, on the undercard for VP. And, you know, all of you were wrong. And I remember getting shellacked for that, saying there's no way in 2008 and 2012 that the Republicans would win that election. People were so stunned. I had a really good friend. I have a great friend who was on the ground trying to help the Republicans in some of the what they thought would be the swing states. And I think she was stunned that Romney didn't pull it out. They really believed they had the numbers. But, you know, the Obama people were smart with what they did with early campaigning. And they were smart with what they did in 2008 when it came to social media. So the Republicans can't sit back. And I don't think Rence Priebus is doing that, by the way. I really think that he wants to see that there are a couple of people that emerge and not this giant bench. You know, not 24 people who want to be president. Because then what happens is, it's great when there's a whole bunch of debates and everybody, including all the Democrats, are tuning in, lapping it up, and it becomes fodder for Saturday Night Live because the Democrats, of course, had their guy. Eventually, they didn't do as many debates, but it helped ratings, and it helped some Republican candidates who were running for president get radio shows and end up, you know, gaining monetarily or popularity-wise, or kind of got a hand in the till for the GOP a little bit deeper. You know what I mean by that? Meaning that they had some sway, but they ultimately were not the one that was picked in the end to be the nominee. It was Romney. So mark my words, here we are talking about 2016 and all that entails for the Republicans. And what it entails is, if they are not on the same page and the Hillary Clinton people are already trying to freeze out, not just the rest of the field, calling them the pips, they're trying to freeze out the Republicans. So let's see what happens. Jack from Down Under says, if Jed is the GOP candidate, then say hello to President Hillary. So he doesn't believe that that Bush can beat Hillary Clinton. But what about Rand Paul, who has a lot of young people, even young people who may swing a little more Democratic but can't go there, have more of a libertarian bent, are not happy with this whole NSA stuff and some of the other rights that are being infringed upon when it comes to privacy? Rand Paul could have a bigger leg up the mountain, the Republican mountain, I think, than a lot of people believe. It's going to be interesting to watch this because it's wide open now, but it can't continue to be too wide open. I agree with that philosophy, because if it becomes that beauty pageant thing again, then you can kiss it goodbye. I mean, seriously, because there is just no way. This is payback for Hillary Clinton, and she's got a lot of sway, a lot of people that want to see her in there, and men and women on the Democratic side and people that are independent. So those independents, I think, will be key to the Republicans trying to make any kind of a serious, serious move. Hey, speaking of that, Chuck Schumer was all over the Koch brothers and said that he is again defending the Democrats' attacks on Charles and David Koch. They're, of course, the two industrialist guys with deep pockets. I don't have to tell you who they are, who spent buku bucks, millions, backing conservative candidates and causes. So this goes back to the Supreme Court decisions, one last week and one 4 years ago. And he was on one of the morning shows on Monday, and he talked about the fact that that this is ridiculous, saying about 90% of the people know that it's the Koch brothers who are pumping the money into half of these conservative causes, and they're not sitting around on the side, that they're spending $40-50 million in ads that aren't focused on what he calls the real agenda, which is just eliminating all regulation on corporations, cutting taxes to virtually nothing. And that demands a response. He said, so I don't feel sorry for them. He said they should be attacked for what's happening and what they're doing. Because what Joe Scarborough was saying as he was interviewing Chuck Schumer on MSNBC is he's saying that Harry Reid calling David Koch un-American was just ridiculous. And so now there's the war of words that is that's happening too as well. And I think that whole campaign finance and the two Supreme Court rulings, and then ultimately what happens further down the line, will have big sway in 2016. All right, hang with us. Coming up on the flip side, odds and ends.
Hi, this is Larry Smith. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. When the cleaners ruined some special clothing, all they could do was show us a sign that said they weren't responsible. But when they got the letter from one of our Legal Shield attorneys, he promptly gave us a check for $1,152. Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
The TalkStream Live app for iPhone, iPad, and Android is the fastest and easiest way to access live talk radio anytime, anywhere. Download the free TalkStream Live app right now and see for yourself. You'll enjoy instant access to the best in live talk radio. Find your favorite shows and discover some new ones. The TalkStream Live app is available in the App Store, the Google Play Store, or visit TalkStreamLive.com. That's TalkStreamLive.com.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. manufacturers. If you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit HerbalHealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.
At this point in the investigation, we can confirm that the alleged shooter, Specialist Ivan Lopez, was involved in a verbal altercation concerning his request for leave and the processing of that request. We have found no evidence that these crimes were connected to a terrorist or extremist organization. Within minutes of the altercation, the subject brandished a .45 caliber semi-automatic handgun and fired multiple rounds, killing one soldier and wounding 10 additional soldiers.
All right, so that's the skinny on Lopez and the latest in the findings at Fort Hood, courtesy of Chris Gray. The people in Killeen, inside and outside of the gate, still mourning the people that were killed and also concerned for the families of those that were injured. Wednesday is the memorial. The president will be on the base for that memorial to honor the people who were killed. And we've talked about this now, I think, a lot in the last couple of shows. You know my thoughts on it. One, arm some of the guys on the base if they can be on foreign soil and be armed the entire time. Why do they have to be sitting ducks when they come back to Fort Hood and have no way to defend themselves against rapid fire all of a sudden out of nowhere? Now, it's not like, thank goodness this is happening every day, but who knew what was going to happen with Ivan Lopez? Who knew what was going to happen in that Navy shooting situation in the Navy Yard? Who knew that was going to happen last year? Nobody is the answer. Nobody expected it. And then they were able to get their guns, and they were able to use their guns on innocent people, and I just can't even really fathom making the phone calls, being the commander on that base, making the phone calls to tell families, I don't know how to tell you this, I'm sorry, our condolences, but you know, your son was killed when somebody allegedly opened fire on the base. I mean, that's got to be the trickiest, craziest thing ever. And I can't imagine how a mother, a family, a wife, anybody feels when they get that kind of information, because you worry, you can't help it. When somebody's in Afghanistan especially, but in Iraq, Afghanistan, any of these deployments, and after one tour, two tours, three tours, they come back, they're safe, you breathe a sigh of relief, you move on to what the next assignment is, only there's no moving on because you're killed by one of your own. So let's leave it at that. That's how I feel about it. When they talk about it in Congress, what they need to talk about is more people need to stand up for the soldiers that are on the base and say, listen, the other way it didn't work so well. It was a failed experiment. So I think we need to go this route, but I don't think the military is going to do that. Anybody I have, and I've got a good source inside the Pentagon, they say, don't even bark up that tree. When I asked him, he said, don't even bark up that tree because it'll be discussed, but it is not happening. The thought is that this is not what we want to do. This is not what we do in the United States, and you're not going to have people carrying sidearms around a giant base or any base for that matter unless they're MPs or they're people. Strictly, that's what they do. They're security. So go figure. I think it's flat out wrong, and I hope a lot of people write to their congresspeople and senators and demand that is seriously considered. And I think at the Pentagon, they absolutely need to be serious about that and take a poll. Take an anonymous poll. That would be a thing to do. Take an anonymous poll in all the branches and see what comes back. See what they say. See how they feel about it, the people who are serving. How about that? All right, I promised some odds and ends. I said at the top, you know this now, UConn beat Kentucky for their fourth title in men's college basketball, so they were pretty excited about that. They weren't predicted to win. You know, the Florida Gators were the heavy money, I think, and for a lot of people, but they didn't get there. They got to the Final Four, so UConn maybe pulled a little bit of a surprise on some people, and Kentucky goes down. So how about that? Meantime, the Pings and Flight 370. Now they're saying, and there's new updates that are happening every single day in Australia, of course, now it seems like they're going to give updates, but they're scouring the area of the ocean that we talked about, the Indian Ocean, after hearing the pulses, but their optimism is more cautious. Isn't that interesting? No new signals have been heard. They're talking about why it may or might not be the plane. So the search continues. I mean, so the issue is, are they going to find the plane? Maybe not. Maybe they're not going to find it. Maybe there's continues to be more to the story. Maybe some of the cockamamie theories out there aren't quite as cockamamie, although there are some, and we know because we've heard from you. But maybe some of the conspiracy theories aren't too far off the mark, seriously. So this has been a month since Flight 370 disappeared. They talked about pulse signals for the three past days. They say it's going to take time to confirm the sonar pings, if it's from the missing plane or not. But there's more questions than anything that have now been raised since the pulse signals have come out. So what happens? Is it? Maybe. You know, we don't even know that. They've got this high-tech U.S. equipment on the Australian ship, by the way. I checked on that early this morning because the United States is muted. The response is a little more muted now. Australia has taken a big lead on this. So the Australian ship is using the high-tech U.S. equipment, and they say they've twice detected signals along the flight path, what was expected or suspected, not expected because it wasn't expected, the suspected flight path of the 777 off of the western coast of Australia. And Angus Houston, who is the guy who's heading the rescue effort, told reporters that a device called the Toad Pinger Locator on the vessel Ocean Shield, which is the Australians, received signals similar to the kind that the aircraft on board the data and the cockpit voice recorders would emit. So that's what led to, okay, this is what we think. It happened over the weekend. And then we, you know, three times we detected this. So now can you just imagine a Chinese ship detected it on Saturday? And can you imagine the long odds of really still trying to find that wreckage? And, you know, here's the thing. And I thought about this having just been in Hawaii, as you all know, back in January. Oceanographers will tell you, yeah, the ocean is full of sonar sounds, including whale calls, which I heard the whale calls when I was in Maui. And it is a strange sonar kind of sound that you hear. So they're saying, hey, just in case, you know, we understand the frequency of the black box signals are supposed to be unique, but there can be confusion in what you hear, like the whale calls and some of the other signals that you might hear. So wouldn't that just be something if this wasn't it at all? The U.S. Navy Commander William Marks, who's been talking all over the place, said from the search operation that the inability of the Ocean Shield's pinger locator to find the signals again more than a day since the last reception caused initial optimism to become more and more cautious. You know, it's almost like they'd be better off not getting people's hopes up, I guess, because it is a needle in the haystack. I mean, that's the best way to say that. And Angus Houston, who's a retired Australian Air Chief Marshal, who is coordinating this thing, is being cautious himself because he knows he's already starting to get egg on his face, and the Australians certainly are too. And there's just a great chance, my friends, that they will not find this plane, despite the fact that there are a lot of people that believe they will because of the pings and all of that. It's easily explained as something else. It could easily be something else, not realizing that. I mean, to be honest, for the people that are waiting and waiting and waiting and in hotels and being shuttled around and are hysterical over this, and I don't blame them because they want resolution, I hope they find that plane, but I just don't believe that they're going to find it. I don't think so. The hopes are high, but I think that the hopes at this point are probably even fading a little bit more unless something comes out of the water, unless they've got pieces of that plane. You're going to have a hard time explaining some of the elements of this investigation, and here we are a month into it. Oh, my, oh, my. Hey, coming up on America Tonight, you know, it's about the numbers, right? So we do a segment called We Can Count. And the We Can Count numbers are some pretty interesting stories. How about Oscar Pistorius, who opened with an apology to the Steinkamp family? That is the family of his girlfriend who he shot and killed. And he says it was because he thought she was an intruder last February 14th on Valentine's Day. So he was pretty emotional about it. And let me tell you, he fired off a lot of shots. And there are a lot of people that believe that this was not an intruder-driven thing. Anyway, he's part of the We Can Count numbers. I'll explain why coming up on the flip side.
Curious about what comes next? Next is the feeling of vulnerability you get after you arrive home to discover your house has been ransacked by burglars. Fool the bad guys with a new improved fake TV. You asked for it, we listened, and we made our new fake TV 3 times brighter than our previous model. The brightness of our new fake TV is equivalent to a 40-inch TV. It simulates the color and motion of a real TV while you're away from home. And when burglars think someone is home watching television, they're likely to pass your house and move on to an easier target. The new, brighter Fake TV is only $39.95 and includes free shipping. Go to FakeTV.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to FakeTV.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
And his trial, he admitted that he killed his girlfriend firing four shots through a closed door in his house in the early hours of February 14th, 2013. Three hit her, with the last one probably killing her almost instantly. That's what the pathologist said. Pistorius says he thought she was a nighttime intruder in his pitch-black house and believed he was firing in self-defense. He cried like a baby, apologizing to the family in the opening moments, I'll call it that, of this trial, which I think will take weeks, as they have 17, 18 witnesses that have been called to the defense. And at one point, they had to adjourn for the day about 20 minutes early after Pistorius testified that he did not sleep the previous night. Are you kidding me? Oh, you poor baby, you're exhausted. Let's go home early. Let's excuse everyone for 20 minutes. I would not be happy if I were on the other side of this, if I were the family of this girlfriend, Reva Steinkamp, that he killed on Valentine's Day. And I think it takes probably 3 weeks, the 17 witnesses, to get through them. So there's a whole bunch of numbers in that one, starting with the apology, how this wraps up. We'll see. It's the first time that he's spoken in public about her death. He says it was an accident. He pleaded not guilty to murder when that trial opened up last month. Where it ends up, boy, is anybody's guess at this time. Let's move on to something else. This also has numbers in it, and these are, we'll get all the sad numbers out of the way in the beginning. And I've talked about this already, but it's worth mentioning again because I've gotten a lot of emails about how many people died in the mudslide and Oso in the Northern Cascade Mountains in Washington State. And the number is now up to 33, believe it or not. You know, that happened back on March 22nd. So 33 bodies were found in the debris. It's 70 feet thick in some places, and they have an average of over 30 feet over the disaster zone. So crews have been searching for people listed as missing. And of the 33 recovered bodies, 30 have been identified. The medical examiner's office is obviously working into overtime, trying as best they can to identify everybody because, of course, the families are, as you can imagine, devastated and want to know about their loved ones officially so that they can bury them, so they can have services and do it where they feel like they have some sort of closure. Although, let's throw the word closure out. You do not get closure when something like that happens. You learn to live with it and move on and hopefully healthy and dealing with it, but it's pretty tough. Let's be serious about that. All right, moving on to another number. Everything is all about Baby George. Now, if I say Baby George, what do you think of? Are you thinking of the future King of England? Although he may be waiting a long time. Britain's Prince William and his wife Kate went to New Zealand's capital. They were cheered roundly from the locals who were out there in the rainy weather to catch a glimpse of the royal couple. The Duke and Duchess of Cambridge landed in what was thick, thick fog in the city of Wellington on Monday with Baby George. It's a three-week tour of New Zealand and Australia. The Prime Minister, a guy named John Key, of course, was there to welcome them. That's not a surprise that he was there, but the crowds braving the weather. And here's your number for you. If you think about this, they're going to spend the next couple of weeks doing stuff like wine tasting at a local vineyard. They're going to meet with the Lord of the Rings director, Peter Jackson. They're going on a jet boat ride. They're visiting Christchurch, which, of course, sadly, was devastated by an earthquake in 2011. And 2011 is the number, because remember that church was eerily hit twice by earthquakes, and there were some people killed in that once. It's kind of a fun visit and kind of also showing support, I suppose, for New Zealand and Australia as well. But anywhere they go, it's massive press. I mean, they're like rock stars, royal rock stars, I suppose. However, the thing that's interesting about them, which I could care less about celebrities or royals, but what I like is that people that have dealt with them, just ordinary people, say they act very much like ordinary people. So bravo for them if they're able to shed that. That sounds like fun, doesn't it? Hanging out with Peter Jackson. Oh, we'll go wine tasting. How about that? How about some wine tasting? So there's a new survey, Obamacare signups short of the claims. Everybody is trying to figure out what's real and what is inflated. This massive survey released on Monday, it's a Gallup survey, is suggesting that the Obamacare signup numbers are not soaring like the White House claims. The Gallup Healthways Wellbeing Index measured the share of adults without health insurance. That shrank from 17.1% at the end of last year to 15.6% for the first 3 months of 2014. The decline of, you'd figure the numbers, 1.5 percentage points would translate to, I guess, roughly about 3.5 million people that were gaining coverage. So the administration says, though, 7.1 million people signed up for the subsidized private plans through new insurance markets, while 3 million previously uninsured people gained coverage through the law's Medicaid expansion. But the huge difference, we know, we've talked about it, the numbers included people who switched or were dropped from their previous coverage, as well as people who have not paid their first month's premium and who would therefore still be uninsured. So it's still not quite apples to apples, let's put it that way. In the end, What is it going to shake out to be? That's what I want to know. What is this going to look like 2 years from now? And what's going to happen in the presidential run? Because I still think we're going to be talking about it. I think that's going to be part of, and I think it's going to be part of what is the drive in 2016, certainly from the Republican point of view. That's what you'll see. There's a new exhibit that features mementos from the Boston Marathon bombing, a memorial. You know, I always feel mixed, frankly, about these memorials, especially so soon, but I understand with what's happened. So, from the survivors to the people of Boston, to the people who watched the Boston Marathon bombing on TV around the world, they were trying to come up with a way to show support for the victims and the city of Boston, because mail was pouring in all over the place. So a memorial grew in Copley Square, which is just past the finish line. People left notes of sympathy. They shared grief. They talked about what they saw. Hundreds of running shoes were hung in tribute. I thought that was pretty cool. And that's been there for over a year. So the city was going to try to preserve the outpouring. And they've now done that. They've got an exhibit at the Boston Public Library entitled Dear Boston, Messages from the Marathon Memorial. They've got more than 1,000, there's your number, paper items that are part of that history, letters that I mentioned from all over the place, all over the country and all over the world. They also have 1,800 pieces of flat-out condolence mail that poured into the mayor's office from around the world. They have physical items like large signs with thousands of signatures. And they've got other things that are part of this memorial in the library. And they say that you know, they want to make sure that they've got it on display so people can go and see it. And it's going to be on display at the public library through May 11th. Through May 11th. And then they're talking about possibly putting it online so that it doesn't get lost and they would be people would be able to go and Google it and see it perhaps that way, but I think there'd be something about seeing it actually in person. So how about the one-year-old daughter who was rescued from that sailboat? Remember that? The one-year-old daughter now improving after a U.S. Navy ship rescued her. Her parents defending their decision to sail with two young kids on a trip around the world on a 36-foot sailboat. The child was ill during the voyage. Her family headed to San Diego aboard the warship where she can get further medical treatment after their rescue from their stalled sailboat hundreds of miles off the Mexican coast. Wow, you got to really think about that decision. I have no problem with people wanting to sail around the world, but taking a one-year-old with them, yeah, I got to call foul on that. How about you?
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.